Right now, I'm going to talk about six car myths or six car care myths that need to die. You know, your great uncle Frank may have gotten 150,000 miles out of a Studebaker, but the advice he handed down is probably out of date. There are many sayings and shibboleths to watch out for, so if you want your car to have a long and healthy life, you've got to learn the new ways to handle your car. Even if you lease and your car's longevity really isn't an issue, knowing the difference between myth and reality could save you money. So I've invited David Mulbaum, senior online editor of Kiplinger.com, to join me because he follows this stuff like no other. Welcome, David.
Glad to be here.
So these six myths in particular continue to steer well-intentioned drivers off course. And you use the word shibboleths, and I want to congratulate you for that word. So for you word nerds, I looked it up, and Webster says it's a word or saying used by adherents of a party, sect, or belief, and usually regarded by others as empty of real meaning. So for all you have a new word that you can use if you care to. So David, great word. What are these six myths?
Well, I'd like to give a little shout out there to my American literature professors for helping out with my car care knowledge. But I'd say number one, and again, this is one that applies to you folks leasing out there too, is that premium gas is better for your car. Mm. I mean, premium, it's a word meant to, it's marketing.
Ultra, supreme.
Too many people waste their money on this stuff.
Yeah, so I have a car that they say in the manual only use premium gas. And I have a friend who's owned many gas stations throughout his career, and he goes, no, not so. What's the word?
Well, I'm always a little bit wary of going against a manufacturer requirement. So there's a small percentage of cars that require premium fuel. Mm-hmm. There are many more that recommend premium fuel to get just a little bit more gas mileage and performance. However, if you are required by your car maker to use premium fuel, if you want to try cheaping out, use regular fuel and just listen. You want to listen for that telltale pinging or knocking sound.
Okay.
If it stays around a long time, you should probably go back to premium.
Okay.
But again, that's a small group of people.
Yeah. Well, I used to have a car, but it wasn't a good car, but it used to ping all the time because whatever reason. But I know that sound. So
yeah.
I know what you're talking about. All right. Myth number two. You should change your oil every X thousand miles.
Right. You remember the old Jiffy Lube jingle? Every 3,000 miles, just bring your car into Jiffy Lube?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they don't use it anymore.
Okay.
And you shouldn't either. Basically, the recommendation or how often you should change your oil is written down right there in your owner's manual. That's what you should follow, not what, you know, Great Uncle Frank said, or some service manager is trying to recommend a whole bunch of engine flushes to you. Follow what it says in the book. That's your interval.
So if it says 5,000 miles, don't worry about it. If it says 10,000 miles, then just follow it, especially, I guess, if it's synthetic oil. They know what they're talking about.
Right. One of the things to pay attention to, though, with these longer oil change intervals, it's still important to check the oil the old-fashioned way with the dipstick.
Okay.
Especially when they're longer intervals and you might not be bothered as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you want to make sure you have the correct level of oil. All right, next myth. You can check your tire tread with a penny.
Yeah, this is, it's just the wrong coin. The idea is valid, and boy, this is,
well, you know,
this is a visual
it's
one,
inflation.
But here's how it works.
You know, it's inflation, that's the problem.
But yeah, you take a quarter. You stick the quarter in the gap between the treads on your tires.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be able to see the top of his head, right?
Okay, well, the quarter has to be head down.
Head down.
Okay.
Good point.
Yeah, thank you.
Good point. Head down.
Right.
You should not be able to see the top of his head.
Okay.
If the top of his head is exposed on that quarter, that means you've got less than 430 seconds, they use this funny measurement for tires, of tread left.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting close to the legal minimum, which is 230 seconds. It's time to go tire shopping. The penny marks 230 seconds, which means you need new tires now.
Got it. So, you know, I know that when I turn my lease in, they require tires with so much tread. So that's how I got sensitive to this whole tread thing, going to kind of a store that sold used tires or something like that. And I would replace those tires. This was Yeah, when I had no money, I would replace those tires with kind of used tires as long as the tread was more than 3/32, which was the requirement. And now, of course, the manufacturer says, you can't do that. You got to buy a new tire.
Mm-hmm.
We want a good new tire. So that's gone. Okay.
They're on to that.
Let's go to the next myth. You can wax your car by going through a car wash.
Yeah. Well, you pull up to one of those car washes and there's a little sort of menu and, they really would like you to get the space age clear coat protectant or whatever the term of art is called. Mm-hmm. Here's why I don't think that's really the same thing or frankly worth your money. Here's some product. You have to go in there, and in 30 seconds, it's going to be sprayed all over your car and rinsed off.
Yeah.
That magic foam has to not smear your glass windows, not harm the rubber and vinyl trim, be non-toxic enough that you can sit there in the midst of the stuff, and it's supposed to protect your paint. Mm-hmm. By comparison, if you go into a car parts store, there are separate products for each of those, and they all require a little bit of, elbow grease to apply. I think it's better to buy a cheap paint sealant and put it on once a year.
Yeah.
Even if you're not love to sit out in the driveway and polish your car. If you're not a car nut, just spend half an hour. It'll be better and a better value for you.
Well, there's something about the person who takes your order as you're driving through.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that board there and the regular car wash is $15.99. And then they'll have some kind of a sale that brings, all of the works down from $25.99 down to $18.99. And you go, mm-hmm. For $3.
You're not going to cheap out, are you? It's a little bit like ordering in a restaurant. Is that all?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Number four, to preserve your car's warranty, the dealer needs to service it.
Right. Now, there's actually a federal law about this. It's called the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act. And basically, what it means is that if you're doing the maintenance required in your service manual, it doesn't matter who's doing it as long as it's done properly. It could be you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, generally speaking, independent shops are less expensive and manufacturers are much less. They used to include some of their maintenance as part of, the sale early on.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of going away. I would say one advantage of going to the dealer, at least on occasion, even if you have an independent that you're happy with, is that the dealer often knows best about these technical service bulletins. This is something less than a full recall, in which case they're obligated to tell you, but it's still something that the manufacturer knows about your car that maybe ought to be addressed, and sometimes they will do it for free. So I think it's a good idea to check in with the dealership every now and again.
That's good advice. Also, they'll give you a loaner.
Yes.
Many of them will. Now, of course, that's going to be built into the price.
That's right. And some independent shops will keep a few cars around too. But yes, nothing's free.
Nothing's free. All right, last one. If your tire pressure light is off, you have enough air.
Right. So it's been almost 10 years now that we've had these tire pressure monitoring systems in our cars.
Mm-hmm.
The light that comes on if there's a tire underinflated, that's basically what they do. The hitch is this. That light won't come on until a tire is more than 25% lower than the recommended pressure. That's just sort of how they're set up. If you wait for that, you're already into what could be a danger zone, especially if it's hot, the car's heavily loaded. You're putting your tires and thus your safety at risk because an underinflated tire can compromise your car's handling or even lead to a tire blowout.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's also wasting money because an underinflated tire requires more gasoline and wears out more quickly. There's just no substitute for owning a tire gauge and using it once a month. Just get down there, check it.
Yeah, so get a very convenient tire gauge, something that's easy to use, and take care of your stuff,
Yeah, they're dirt cheap, $10.
That's right. Well, my guest, David Mulbaum, senior online editor of Kiplinger.com, has discussed the six myths. There's many, many more myths and other things that you can learn from him. David, how can people find you?
Well, you can go to Kiplinger.com and look up our car content, or you can follow me on Twitter, where my handle is @DavyDog.
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 I like that. I like that.
I was pretty early to Twitter and wasn't paying a lot of attention, and now I got it.
Oh, and now you're stuck with it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what happens when you get a Twitter handle at age 14. All right. If you have a question about what we've discussed, just ask us. Go to stevepomerantz.com. Ask us anything you like, stevepomerantz.com. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our weekly update, where we'll send you every commentary, all the interviews straight to your inbox. David, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.